ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This morning, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to Judges chapter 14 as we continue our in-depth study of the book of Judges. And we are currently looking at the last judge in the book of Judges, and that's Samson. And as we've seen, Samson is a character or a man who had great, great potential to do many amazing things for God. In fact, he was called from his mother's womb to be a Nazarite or dedicated to God. And he was going to be dedicated to God all his life. The Spirit of God came upon Samson to empower him for the work he was to do. And I think he needed that empowerment. You know, we tend to think of Samson as, you know, Charles Atlas or this big muscular type guy. I don't think he was. I think he was like me, like you. I think he was your average guy. And the Spirit of God came upon him and empowered him to do these mighty things. That's why everyone kept, when he's with Delilah, she wants to know, where's his great power from? Didn't look like he had great power. And so it was the Spirit of God working upon this man in a powerful way. But with all that potential, and I mean, it's pretty amazing, Samson needed to walk by faith. He needed to obey the Lord. And instead of doing that, Samson did the exact opposite. And as we talked about in our studies, here in chapter 14 of Judges, Samson goes down, down, down. And it's never a good thing. He went down to Timnah, Philistine territory. He lusted after a woman there, one of the daughters of the Philistines, not a daughter of Israel. His parents tried to persuade him, son, you know, don't marry a pagan woman. Marry one of the children of Israel. Marry a daughter from the children of Israel. He didn't want that. He wanted this woman. They're heading down to Timnah to arrange this marriage for their son, Samson, and this daughter of the Philistines. Samson went down to the vineyards of Timnah, something he wasn't supposed to do. He wasn't supposed to have any grapes or have any wine. That was part of the Nazarite vow. Well, from there, he goes and he kills a lion. Here's this dead carcass now as he returns sometime later of this lion that has a honey nest or a bee nest in it with all this honey. He reaches in, takes some honey, he eats the honey, brings some to his parents, but he doesn't tell his parents where he got this from. And here's the thing. He wasn't to touch anything that was dead. This was part of, the Nazarite vow that he was breaking. So now it's time for this wedding feast. Everything's been arranged. It lasted for some 7 days. And since it took place in Timnah, Samson didn't know any of the men there, so they brought him 30 Philistine men for this kind of bachelor party, I guess. And I don't think Samson had many friends in Israel. I think he was a loner. And it's never a good thing. You see, by ourselves, we can justify our behavior, but with brothers and sisters in the Lord, we can be corrected, encouraged. Iron sharpens iron, the Bible tells us. But that wasn't Samson, and it ended up hurting him as he lusts after this woman and other women. He's not listening to his parents. There's no respect for God. And again, here at this feast, the wine flowed. This was, you know, pagan nation. Samson wasn't to drink any wine. And yet, he's disobeying the Lord again. And so this morning, what we're going to focus on, and what I've called this message, is the pride of Samson. And pride is something, if we really think about this, is what brought Lucifer down. And it's something that will bring us down if we don't deal with it. Now, for Samson, it's going to be destructive in his relationship with the Lord. It's going to be destructive with his relationship with other people. And it's also going to be destructive in his own life. One writer in regard to pride put it like this. He wrote, "Pride is inordinate self-esteem, an unreasonable conceit of one's superiority in talents, beauty, wealth, accomplishments, etc. These persons will exalt themselves at the same time, belittle others, or magnifying themselves at the expense of their neighbors or others they meet. And I think that kind of sums it up for us pretty good, like I have said. Pride is a very dangerous thing in our walk with the Lord. And if we don't deal with it, there's no doubt it's going to bring us down. Now, I've broken these verses down we're going to be looking at this morning into three main points. So they're in your bulletin. First is the pride of Samson in Judges 14, verses 12 through 14. The effects on others in Judges 14, verses 15 and 17 through 17. And then the consequences in Judges 14, 18. Now, before we get to our text, let me share this with you, and it will lead us into our study this morning. We're told this. New Testament scholar John Stout said, "At every stage of our Christian development and in every sphere of our Christian discipleship, pride is the greatest enemy and humility our greatest friend." He also said, "Pride is more than the first of seven deadly sins. It is itself the essence of all sins." God reveals that he considers a proud look and a proud heart to be an abomination. God also inspired Solomon to write, "Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate." The Bible defines pride as arrogance, haughtiness, conceit. Pride emphasizes the self over others and it rejects God's greatness. Pride occurs when sinful human beings subconsciously aspire to the status and position of God and refuse to acknowledge their dependence upon him. Pride contends for supremacy with him. Pride takes innumerable forms but has only one end, self-glorification. That's the motive and ultimate purpose of pride, to rob God of legitimate glory and to pursue self-glorification, contending for supremacy with him. The proud person considers himself better than other people and even seeks to glorify himself instead of God, thereby attempting in effect to deprive God of something only he is worthy to receive. A proud person has a distorted view of himself, not accepting Paul's words in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 and verse 29. "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, that no flesh should glory in his presence." Putting ourselves in the place of God is truly prideful. But pride also includes deciding that we know better than everyone else when we should be esteeming others better than ourselves. Even comparing ourselves too favorably over others would be prideful and certainly is not wise to do. Ungodly and hateful pride is a growing reality in the modern world. Instead of emphasizing personal responsibility and gratitude, this world emphasizes self-worth and self-centeredness. From the time when Lucifer developed pride because of his beauty to today, when modern political candidates and celebrities flaunt their greatness, the entire span of history shows us how infectious and dangerous pride can be. Pride can also affect us in subtle ways. It's always lurking in the background of our lives, and we might not even be aware of it. It's no wonder God listed pride as something he hates and inspired multiple scriptures to be written showing why all humility should overcome it. We are even told God resists the proud. This alone should be a warning that pride has to go. But pride can also affect us in subtle ways. It is always lurking in the background of our lives, and we might not even be aware of it. This is not an easy subject, obviously, to talk about. And to some degree or other, we all have to deal with this issue of pride. We have to deal with it. You know, when we are in disagreement with God, what are we basically saying? "God, I know better than you." That's pride. First of all, I do not know better than God. If you saw my ACT scores from, you know, way back when, you would know I am not smarter than God. It's not even close. So I have to trust God. I have to let that pride go and say, "Lord, you do know better, and I have to obey you. I need to follow you." So with that as our background, let's pick up in Judges chapter 14, starting in verse 12. And let's see what the Lord has for us this morning as we look at the topic of the pride of Samson. "Then Samson said to them," to these 30 men, from Philistine men at this bachelor party, "let me pose a riddle to you. If you can correctly solve and explain it to me within the 7 days of the feast, then I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing. But if you cannot explain it to me, then you shall give me 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing. And they said to him, pose your riddle that we may hear it. So he said to them, out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet. Now for 3 days they could not explain the riddle. Now, we read that and we go, so what's the big deal? I mean, it's an innocent little game that Samson is playing here. Are we making much to do about nothing? I don't think so. It may look very innocent, but think about it. How in the world were these 30 Philistine men, these so-called friends, they weren't really friends, figure this out? There is no way they couldn't. Samson knew that they couldn't figure this out on their own. And that's why I think it was prideful on his part. He was putting them down. He basically pulled the rug out from under them. He knew he had this one in the bag. And he was trying to make them look foolish, take advantage of them, and make himself look good. And that's pride. And here's the thing. Pride destroys relationships. And the first one we see here is not necessarily these 30 men. But I think it's destroying Samson's relationship with God. Think about what he's doing here. He's down in Timnah. He's in Philistine country. He wasn't supposed to be there. This was the enemy who's had them in bondage for, I think it was 30 or 40 years. He's with the enemy. And not only with the enemy, he's having a party with them, rubbing elbows with these 30 Philistine men and with others. And it was his wedding party as he's going to marry this Philistine woman. This is in defiance of what God has spoken to the children of Israel. And so Samson thought he knew better than God. And guess what? That is pride. Not only that, but Samson, again, is marrying a Philistine woman instead of a daughter of the children of Israel. And God already clearly spoke to the children of Israel and told them they were not to do that. So again, Samson thought he knew better than God. That's pride. And at this feast, the 7-day wedding feast, there's plenty of wine going around, plenty of drinking and getting drunk. That's the way it was with the Philistines. And I'm sure Samson joined in. At least he had one glass of wine. But even if he had just one, it went against what God had spoken to him. He was to be a Nazarite from birth. He wasn't to have any grapes or drink any wine. But he disobeyed God. Maybe he thought he knew better. Hey, it's only one cup. What's the big deal? And once again, Samson thought he knew better than God. That's pride. And one more, and we talked a little bit about it, but remember what the parents of Samson said to him. Nope, verse 3, I'm sorry. Then his father and mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? That's a pretty straightforward question. His parents were concerned. And what's his response? And it just shows me what kind of kid he was. Get her for me, for she pleases me. I don't care what you say. I don't care how you feel. Get her for me because she's satisfying me, and I don't really care about what you have to say. God said that we are to respect and honor our parents, but Samson didn't. It's obvious here. And thus he was going against God. And when your constant theme of your life is going against God, in the end, that pride is going to destroy you. Samson thought he knew better than God. That, again, that's pride. And this destruction in Samson's life is not going to happen right away. Yeah, there's bad things that go on. But down the road, he's going to be in serious trouble. And we'll talk a little bit about that this morning. Let me share with you some verses from the Bible, and you'll kind of see what I mean. In Psalm 10:4, David said, the wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. And, you know, we look at this world today, we can see that, right? I mean, we see the unsaved and they just do whatever they want. But what about us? It's really easy to point your finger at other people and what they're doing wrong. But if you know what God has said in his word and you ignore it, you're not seeking God. You're sinning. And your actions are wicked. And what happens then is that God is in none of your thoughts. Why? Why do I take God out of my thoughts? Because I don't want the conviction upon my life. I'm just going to ignore him, man. I'm not going to be in his word. I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to fellowship with other believers. He is not in any of my thoughts at all because I want to do this. That's just what Samson said. Get her for me. She pleases me. That's just what I want. And I realize that's a hard one to swallow, but it's, you know, the truth. Who are we following? Who are we obeying? And if we don't listen to the Lord, we end up following the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance in the evil way, in the perverse mouth I hate. Well, that makes sense, right? If you love the Lord, if you fear the Lord, that reverential fear for God, then you hate evil. What kind of evil is he speaking of? Well, the first one is pride. We wouldn't think much about that, but it's a big one. And then arrogance, evil way, the perverse mouth. God hates these things in our lives. So if you are moving towards God, then you're moving away from evil to the point of hating evil. Hating pride, hating arrogance, hating the evil way, hating the perverse mouth. We as Christians need to flee these things that the Lord hates. In fact, we should have a deep hatred for them instead of embracing them. Why? Because these evil practices destroy not only our relationship with God, but they destroy other people's lives. And we'll look at that more in our next point in a few minutes. But man, it is amazing what pride can do to the human heart. It's kind of like a terminal disease. And once it's kind of like cancer, it gets in there and it just destroys your life. It kills your love for God. It kills your passion for God. It kills your desire for God. You know, one writer said this. He said, pride is the cause of most, if not all, problems in marriage, business, church, school. Yes, even in families. Yeah, I mean, I can't tell you the number of people within marriages. It's a pride issue. They won't let go. They won't surrender. There's always the problem. Well, you know, 42 years ago, you remember what you said. You know, oh, my God, I don't remember what I said 5 minutes ago, okay? But fine, you got 42 years down. That's pretty darn good. Let it go. Don't hold on to those things. They can be very hurtful. Don't get me wrong. But you know what? You got to let them go and give them to God. And let him work in your heart and in your life. He continues on, history is filled with examples of people who have ruined themselves because they let their pride get in the way of life. So don't follow their example. Instead, learn from history and rise above. So what does pride destroy? First, pride will destroy our relationship with God. By definition, pride is the exaltation of self. When self is exalted, it dishonors God. For he says so, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Think about it. In the Garden of Eden, in the very beginning, before the fall of man, Adam fellowshiped with God. They walked together in the garden. Can you imagine that? Walking, beautiful Garden of Eden. They're walking together, fellowshipping. And then sin entered the picture. And that sin separated Adam from God. And this is what took place in Genesis 3, verses 8 through 10. And they heard the sound of the Lord. This is after sin entered. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Wow. That intimate relationship with God was now broken because of sin. And he hid himself. He knew that his sin was exposed. Can you hide yourself from God? You can't. He knows where you're at. You know, when God said, "Adam, where are you?" It wasn't that he lost Adam. He knew exactly where Adam was. This is a call to Adam. Come on, Adam. What happened here? I think when we're involved in sin, we do that. We hide ourselves from God. We distance ourselves from him. It's because we don't want to stop what we're doing, and that's pride. Proverbs 16, verses 18 and 19. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than divide the spoil with the proud. I mean, think about this for a minute. During a lightning storm, which trees tend to get hit first? Which trees attract lightning? The tallest ones. Wow. As we stand tall and proud, don't get close to me. God's going to bring you down, not because he hates you. But he's trying to awaken you. It's better to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and let him lift you up than to lift yourself up and let him humble you. And pride will destroy people's lives, even Christians, as we stand tall and proud. God will deal with it because he loves us. In verse 19 of Proverbs 16, it's saying that it is better to be poor and humble than rich and proud. Yeah. That was Samson, you know, proud, arrogant. And he's going to get more and more prideful and more bold in his pride. And it's going to reach a point in his life that he's pushed God completely out of his life. And it says that God departed from him. And he didn't even know it. How could he not know it? Because he had pushed God so far away, this process reached a point where he wasn't even aware that God was gone anymore. How sad. But that's not the end of the story for Samson. Praise God for that. What Samson is doing here is just prideful because, like I've said, he knew the Philistine men were not going to be able to figure this out in 7 days, 7 years, 7,000 years. There's no way they would figure this riddle out from what Samson had told them. And that's the pride of Samson. Look at verse 15 here in Judges chapter 14. So it came to pass on the seventh day that they said to Samson's wife, entice your husband that he may explain the riddle to us, or else we will burn you and your father's house with fire. Have you invited us in order to take what is ours? Is that not so? Then Samson's wife wept on him and said, you only hate me. You do not love me. You have posed a riddle to the sons of my people, but you have not explained it to me. And he said to her, look, I have not explained it to my father or my mother, so should I explain it to you? Now she had wept on him 7 days while the feast lasted. And it happened on the seventh day that he told her, because she pressed him so much, then she explained the riddle to the sons of her people. Let me kind of give you an overview of what's going on here, and then we'll look at this topic of how pride works, that it affects the effects on other people. Samson gave these Philistine men this riddle. Out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet. They have no idea what that's about. They can't figure it out. 3 days going over this thing, and they couldn't come up with a good explanation of what it meant. So as they gave up on their own, they come to the bride of Samson, and they give this bride-to-be a little incentive to find out what the answer was to the riddle Samson gave them. And they either figured out that she knew it or she would be able to get Samson, obviously, to tell her what that riddle was all about. And they gave her this incentive to figure this out. Hey, you either tell us this or we are going to burn you and your father in his house. You're going to be destroyed. Well, that's a good incentive, right? Obviously, these guys were not exactly friends of Samson or his wife, but they're looking out for themselves. And so with that incentive, Samson's Philistine wife nags Samson, even to tears, to find out what this riddle was about. Now, first of all, he should have never married this woman. Secondly, you can't let nagging and tears cause you to do something that you should not do. Samson knew what he was doing, or so he thought, in pride. And we see that over and over in Samson's life. It's just prideful. Is there a discrepancy between what's said in verse 15 and verse 17 here in Judges chapter 14? Well, I don't think there's a contradiction. Verse 15, though, says these 30 Philistine men came to her and asked her on the seventh day to go and pressure her husband and find out what the riddle was all about. And yet verse 17 says it was the first day of the feast she was asking. So why? What is that about? Well, one writer said, this statement is not a variance with that in verse 15, to the effect that it was only on the seventh day that the Philistine young men urged her with threats to entice Samson to tell the riddle, but may be explained very simply in the following manner. The woman had already come to Samson every day with her entreaties from simple curiosity, but Samson resisted them until the seventh day, when she became more urgent than ever, in consequence of this threat on the part of the Philistines. Yeah, I think that's the way to look at that. So the tears broke Samson down to do something probably he shouldn't have done, tells her the riddle, and what does she do? She goes and tells these Philistine men. And I guess she trusted these Philistine men more than her own husband. I don't know. It's not a great way to start out a marriage. And here's the thing. Our pride, our arrogance is going to affect our relationship with others. It can affect our relationship with our spouse. as we see here with Samson and his new wife. With our friends, as we see here with these Philistine men, although I wouldn't really call them close friends to Samson. He didn't even know them. But they were supposedly friends at this bachelor party. It can affect our relationship at work, at church, anywhere and everywhere. Why? Because we can let pride that we're holding on to, affect our relationship with others. That's what we're seeing here with Samson. What's the point of this whole riddle thing? There's none except to show himself being smarter, wiser than these 30 Philistine men.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.